Today then we're looking at the second half of John 17, so we've got another member of the Trinity Islington team. So we had Jeremy Hobson, who heads up the team last week, and this week we've got James Buchanan, who works on the team as well up in North London, and we're delighted that he's come down today to speak to us. So.
Brilliant. Well, before we look at John 17, last few verses together, let's pray for our time together. Father, thank you for giving us this time in a busy week. I pray, Father, that you would open our eyes and our hearts to your word, that we might get to know Jesus better, get to know his desires better and his desires for us. Please, would you, because of that, change our lives and change our hearts in the way that we serve him for your glory. Amen. Well, do look down on your sheets. John 17, verses 20 to 26 is printed out there. The last few sentences that Jesus said to his disciples before going to his death, before going to the cross. Let me read them out to you. Verse 20. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their words, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one. So the world may know that you sent me and loved me, loved them, even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Well, it probably won't have escaped your notice that something kicked off last night with umbrellas, but no rain, which was wonderful. But we've got another few days of Olympic frenzy, last chance to catch the fever, before September the 10th hits in. You'll probably know what the target is. The target for the Paralympians, for Team GB, 103 medals. Come second in the medal tables to beat America, that's the unsaid target, to beat America into third place. That's the target for Team GB. But come September the 10th, Olympic fever will be over, normal life will resume, no more checking on the phone for where we've got another medal or where we are in the tables. September the 10th will hit in, normal life will resume. So the bigger question is, what's our target for our lives? What's your target for your life that you've been setting your life on, striving at even the last 7 hours? What is it? Or perhaps a bigger question is, well, what's Jesus' target? What's his desire? What does he want from your life? What's he want it to be about? If you're just looking in, what would a Christian life look like? What would it look like? What should it look like? Well, in these last few sentences of Jesus' prayer to his Father, we're given the answer as he turns his prayers towards us. And the first part of that answer comes, well, it's the first point on your sheet. It's something that we've got to get our heads around. It's a fact that Jesus declares and a desire that he wants from us, that we are part of God's team. Have a look down at verse 20 that's on your sheet. It says, well, we need to get our head around the language that he uses as he declares that we're part of this team. Read it with me. I do not ask for these only, that's the apostles, but also for those who believe in me through their word. That's any of us here who've picked up a Bible and believed in Jesus through their words. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. What is his desire for them? What's the fact that he lays down for us? Well, that we are one. There it is. That they may be all be one, just as you, Father, in me and I in you. It's a picture of unity. It's a picture of being united with the Father and the Son. And it's a picture we can easily get our heads around, isn't it, with the Olympics. We've seen the rowers in the Olympics. They're in that boat and they are all striving together as one. That's what makes the Team GB rowers so brilliant. The boat flies along because they're all perfectly in time, or almost perfectly in time with each other, striving together as one. If you've ever been in a rowing boat when that's not the case, you know what it looks like, or sadly what it looks like to everybody else. Not quite so magnificent. But it's a picture of being one as being on one, is on the same team. And Jesus is declaring here, as he prays to the Father, that we are part of God's team. Anybody who believes in Christ is part of God's team, part of his family. And given that is the case, well, there's an obvious question, isn't there? Well, what is that team about? We need to know the answer to that question. There's no point being on a team and being headless about it. We need to know the answer to the question, what's the team about? What's the target for this team? Well, we heard it last week. Let's just summarise quickly last week. You've got it down in your sheets. We're part of God's team with a captain set on giving eternal life. If we want to know what the team is about, we look at the captain, and we saw the captain last week. Jesus Christ was set on giving eternal life. The first few verses of John 17 are about his plans on giving eternal life. Well, what is his crowning achievement? That was the focus of last week. Does anyone remember? His crowning achievement of his life was not on the track aiming for gold, but was at the cross, giving his life that others might be given eternal life. That was his crowning achievement. That was where his life was set. Set on giving people eternal life and so glorifying his Father. That was his target. And we saw last week that this eternal life is a relationship with the Father, which is the reason why he had to go and play that last glory play of history. Because the reality is, by nature, all of us don't want that relationship with the Father and indeed can't have it. So all of us by nature, you'll know this for yourself in the past or for those around you, all of us by nature are people who say, God, I'd rather it was the case that you didn't exist. Can't see you, don't want to think about you. I want to be somebody who set the targets for my own life. I don't want to have a manager or boss over me. I want to set my own targets for my own life. And that is the reason why Jesus had to play that last glory play of history. That is the reason why his crowning achievement was the cross and had to be the cross. So at the cross, he reveals the glorious love of the Father. That the Father was willing for his Son to die for people like you and me who reject the Father, reject God. Willing for his Son to die, and the Son was willing to die to give his life that we might have life. And instead of being punished as enemies, that we might be welcomed as family. But not just that, at his resurrection, the glorious power of the Father is revealed, that we realize and understand that this life that we have been given is not a life just for now, but it's a life that breaks through the grave, and we see Christ breaking through the grave and going on to eternal life. And so we know this life that he's giving us is an eternal life. That is why he had to go. That's why his crowning achievement was giving his life, so he could bring eternal life to us. That was his target, our captain's target, giving eternal life. And we saw last week that it didn't end there. We're part of God's team with a captain set on giving eternal life, with others all united in that one purpose. We saw last week that the Father and Son were united in that purpose. And then we saw, as Jesus passed on the baton, as told the apostles about the glory of the Father in verse 7, well, they were joined in to be part of that team. So now it was the Father and the Son and the apostles. As Jesus was sent out to declare that message to the world, well, so the apostles were sent out to declare that message to the world. That's why we've got our Bibles in the New Testament. They were sent out to declare that message. But it doesn't end there. Verse 20 is uncomfortable. This is what it says. I do not ask for these only, talking about the apostles, but also for those who believe in me through their word. That's you and me, if we believe in Jesus through the apostles' word, the Bible. So it's not only now just the Father and the Son and the apostles, but now the team has grown to be the Father and Son and the apostles and us. We're part of God's team. And as we read about the unity that we have with the Father as part of that team, we've got to understand the language. So unity is packed full of meaning. This oneness is packed full of meaning in John's Gospel. In John chapter 5, verse 20, we understand that it is based on love. It's based on a love that the Father has for the Son, the Son has for the Father. So that is the basis of it. But it's seen and expresses itself in a common purpose or target, or as John puts it, a common work that Jesus has. And that work, as we've seen, is to give people eternal life. Now that is a challenge for us, isn't it? If we're part of this team, that it has a basis of loving one another, and its sole target as a team is to give people eternal life, that starts to become uncomfortable for us, doesn't it? And I think the reason is, well, if you're anything like me, you're tempted, and again tempted, to sail on the yacht of a worldly Christianity. I don't know if that is true of your life. I often find it true of my life. That I find it easy to believe the lie that God is there to provide for my desires. And so my prayers follow a wish list of things that I want for my life that God needs to provide. I find it the case that even in my work, that I see work as a place where I can gain glory for myself rather than glory for the Father. That I gain a reputation at work. I want people to think well of me. And I see that as part of my target at work. But not just that. My target at work is to gain a life or perhaps a retirement for myself that is marked by mojito in one hand, the novel in the other, and sand between my toes. That's my target. And I'm tempted to sail on that yacht of a worldly Christianity. But you see, that picture doesn't fit with a picture of having a captain whose target is on giving eternal life. And who gives that eternal life by giving his own life at the cross. It doesn't fit that picture. Neither does the picture of a rowing boat. No, that doesn't fit the picture either. All of us striving together to get the gold medal. No, that doesn't work. No, the picture is of a lifeboat, isn't it? Where all of us, as one team, as a Christian, are at the edge of that lifeboat. Nobody snoring downstairs. Everybody at the edge of the lifeboat, straining for one purpose and one purpose only. That is, well, in the midst of this massive storm, to save those who are busy drowning because a ferry's gone down or whatever it might be. And as soon as one person, perhaps a father, has been pulled and dragged on board and with bloodied hand is pulled onto the deck, well, what does he do? He has a second to gain his breath. And he's straight at the side of the boat. And he's there with everybody else, looking out for his family and friends and trying to pull them on board that they might be saved too. You see, Jesus is saying that is the picture that we're to have of the Christian life. That is the target, is to give life to people. Our captain has declared it. He said, this is what we're to be about as a team. We're to be about giving eternal life to people. Well, what is that gonna look like in your life? Perhaps the next 9 hours before you go to sleep tonight, what is that going to look like in your life? How is that target going to change your life? Look at me at the second point on your sheets. Our life is to be a life of ministry, literally service. Our life is to be a life of ministry. And you see, the thing is, chapter 17 is the end of a speech by Jesus that starts in chapter 13. It's the climax, if you like, of that speech. Speech that he gives just before he goes to die. And at chapter 13, well, you'll know chapter 13, you'll have heard it often. It's a chapter where Jesus gives his disciples a picture of what the life is to be about. And he gathers them all together in this room and he lines them up and he takes off his outer clothing and puts on his pinny. He gets a bowl of water in front of him and he kneels down before them and he starts to wash their feet. And rather worryingly, he says at the end of that, he says that no servant is greater than his master, as he declares to us that we're to do the same. That is what our life is to be like. And the focus of that life, the climax, if you like, of that service for Jesus was giving his life that others might be given eternal life, was dying on the cross. The focus of that service was of that target of giving eternal life. And the same is to be true for us. And so our motto isn't to be faster, higher, stronger. Our motto is to be love, serve, and proclaim. We're going to see in a moment that this unity is based on love, as we've already said. It's going to be marked by service, giving our life for other people, serving other people. And it will look like in the office, serving people in the office. Not just busy getting on with your work, but seeing yourself as a servant and serving other people around you, enabling them, helping them with their work. But all of it, ultimately, for one purpose, that you might proclaim to other people Christ. That's what Jesus is doing in our verses here. Well, the apostles are doing it in verse 20. It's the words that they have spoken. And then in verse 22, the glory that you've given me, I have given to them. That glory is the revelation of the cross and the resurrection. And he's given it. Jesus has given it to us. That's what he's about. And that's what we're to be about. The climax of our service is in proclamation, is telling people about him. Such that, verse 23, here's the goal. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. So here it is. As we tell people about the resurrection of Christ, where we reveal to people that Jesus must, by all the evidence, must have come from the Father, because he has the power of the Father, that glorious power that is able to break through death. And there is the evidence laid out before you. And if you don't believe that evidence yet, do come along to Christianity Explored that runs in a few weeks and find out more about it, because it is there. But not just that, not that the evidence is there that Christ came from the Father, as we've seen in verse 23, but also that, well, the Father loves us. Because as we proclaim to people about the cross, that Jesus was willing to die for us, well, we're declaring to people that the love that Christ has for us and the love that he has for them, that he is unwilling that we might die and be punished as enemies, but rather he is willing to give his life that we might be welcome as family and have a relationship with the Father. So what's it going to look like in the next 9 hours, even in the next hour as we go back to your desk? What's it going to look like? Yes, it's going to look like service. But the climax, the focus of that service is going to be on seeking to have chats with other people around you. I don't know what you're like in the office. I'm somebody who would much rather have their head down, ignore that anybody else is there, and get the job done so I can go home. That is what I'm like. So if somebody comes up to me or something, I'd just rather just sort of palm them off and get on with the job. But we're not to be people like that. Because our target is on giving people eternal life, and that means talking to them about Christ. And so we become people who, yes, down tools when people come up and we talk to them. We want to have opportunities with them. Might mean we get back later to home, because we've still got to get that work done, ultimately, because we're serving other people. It might mean that we go home later just because at the end of the day we go out with people to the pub, that we might have an opportunity to talk to them and chat to them and serve them. We might not want to do it, but we go out with them so we can have an opportunity to talk to them about Christ. That's our target. It might mean that when we do eventually get home, that instead of sitting ourselves down on the sofa and set on the TV because we're exhausted and we need a rest, that we actually serve our family or our housemates and seek opportunities to encourage them and talk to them about Christ. And not just that, but people that live around us, that we go out for a meal with them and seek opportunities to talk to them about Christ too. That's what it should look like. But that, if you're anything like me, well, one feels pretty extreme. Though we give up everything, sacrifice our leisure time, our free time, even our careers for that purpose, that feels pretty extreme. And if you're anything like me, that feels utterly terrifying. But I find it terrifying enough, this is my job by the way, I find it terrifying enough to talk to Christians about Jesus, let alone non-Christians about Jesus. That's just bizarrely a terrifying thing to do, but it is, isn't it? What is in that moment going to drive us to do that work that we've been brought on the team to do, to hit that target that Jesus has set for him and for us? What is going to drive us to do it? When we're terrified, where are we going to go to have the strength to keep going? Well, this is where Jesus ends. So our life is a life of ministry because it is a life of love. You see, that unity is based in love. Eternal life is a relationship with the Father. And have a look in verse 23 how that's explained again. Verse 23, I in them and you in me. This is the relationship that you've been brought into as a Christian, if you are. What does it mean? I in them and you in me. Jesus in us and the Father in Christ. What does that mean? It's a hard phrase. Think about it when you go home. Think about it on the tube. Dwell on it. because it's a glorious thing, because it's a picture of us being brought into the loving relationship that the Father has always had with the Son and the Spirit in the Trinity. That relationship of love that's gone on for eternity, that is a perfect loving relationship, that we've been brought into that relationship. And it's not a static relationship, verse 24. Look, Father, I desire that you also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. You see the end of that relationship, where it's going? It's going to a place, to a new world, where we will see with our eyes, face to face, Christ in all his glory, and experience the deep love that he has for us, and the glory of it. That is where it's going, but it's not all future, verse 26. I made known to them, that's us, your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Do you see where we go? When we go to the Bible and we, by the power of the Spirit, understand more of Christ, well, we're being taught more of the Father. And what does that what effect does that have in us? Well, that the love with which you've loved me, the love with which the Father has loved the Son, may be in us. So where do we go? As we go to the Bible, as we come to know Christ better, well then, we're renewed in that relationship. We come closer to the Father, and the love that the Father has for us is in us. We experience it more. And it drives us because it becomes a love that is greater than other loves. It's not a fleeting thing, an external thing like a faceless crowd praising and applauding you, or a medallion, gold medallion hung around your neck. It's not fleeting. No, it's an eternal love that's internal as well. And it's what will drive us, that love, making us able to sacrifice all other things because we love them less than we love the Father, as we come to his word and get to know Christ better. And it will enable us to love one another and talk to one another about Christ, because we want each other to have that deep love for the Father and experience it together. But more than that, it will enable us and strengthen us to go out and that love spill over to those, to our colleagues around us. And we love them enough because we want them to experience that love as well and have that relationship with the Father, that one day, with all of us, they might see the glory of Christ face to face and be with us in eternity. It will drive us to that end, that we might set our eyes on giving them eternal life by giving up our life. You see, we're part of one team. That's what Jesus is praying for us, praying that we would realize and act out. We're part of one team with one target, a target of giving people eternal life. It's a target that's driven by a love for the Father and a love, therefore, for others, that we might proclaim Christ to them. And that together, as a team, we will be on the edge of that lifeboat, hauling people in as we hand out the word of life to others. That is what Jesus is praying for you. Let us make it our prayer for each other and for ourselves. Let's pray now, and then we'll have a few moments of question time. Father, we thank you that Jesus has already prayed for us, that we might have the courage and boldness, Father, the love that he had for us, that we might have it not just for the Father, not just for you, but for others too, Father, that we might be willing to tell them about Jesus, that they might be given eternal life. Please, Father, change our targets. And so change our actions, Father, that might come about, that we might be with many others in eternity, Father, who've come to know Christ because of what we've said, for your glory. Amen.